recording in progress.
Amen. Yeah, we're talking about the number four and how the number four is used in Scripture. And I thought that we might look at how this is used prophetically as well. The meaning, I'll just go to the bottom line here and tell you, I understand the meaning of the number four is, first of all, it's like 40. Similar to 40, it speaks of testing and trial and tribulation. Okay? It's, as you know, it's the number of the human soul. But it represents the natural realm, you know, the four corners of the earth, this type of thing. It's God's hand of judgment on the carnal realm, the natural carnal realm. And, we're going to look at horses as well here today. Horses are animals, in this case, they're spiritual animals that are used in war, in conquest, to control and to subdue. And their colors symbolize their assignment that God sends them, uses Satan's agents also for his purpose. Now, before we get into, I missed one reference here to the number four, and I want to, here it is, Job, the first chapter, verse 19. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, amen, and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now, this has to be a figure of speech. Smote the four corners. That's quite a wind. I suppose a tornado could do that, but what it refers to is the whole house. The whole house was taken down, the four corners, the natural house. Now, I have another verse here in Job. We're talking about horses. And if I can find this other verse here in, here it is. It's in Job 39. We're talking about horses today. And the horse is a type of a spirit of war. He was an animal that was used for war. It seems that in the early days of America, and even well before tractors and all that, Americans used the horse mostly for the plowing and the work and this type of thing. This kind of work in the Bible times was mostly done by the ox. The donkey was the beast of burden, but it seems the horse was mostly a war creature. In fact, didn't the Lord admonish Solomon not to multiply horses? So let me read from Job the definition of the horse. It's in Job 38, and I'll start in verse 19. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swallows the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha! and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Well, that's quite an animal. I suppose some of our old Western lore of the cowboy sort of speaks of that type of an animal. The cowboys rode these horses and they roped these wild cattle, and these horses were trained to not be pulled off balance. They were trained when that rope fell on the cow, that horse would brace himself, and the cow wasn't going to get away with anything. So these are quite an animal, these horses. Amen. So let's go to Zechariah then, if we could, and see what Brother Zechariah has to say about horses. The first chapter, I'll come to verse 8. Now, this is four horses. We're going to be looking at four horses in several applications here, prophetically in Scripture. All right. And he says, I saw by night. Remember, this was night now. This was darkness. It was a time of trouble. Night. Amen. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. So it wasn't just the horse he saw, but each of these horses, I believe, had a rider. The horse was not independent. He was controlled by the rider. So the first one was a red horse. All right. Now I want to try to read the definition of this kind of red. Red comes from the word Adam and refers to the flesh. In the tabernacle, it is death to self, death to self message. In the New Testament, it is flame colored. So we know that Satan's red dragon in Revelation 12 is probably the same color. Okay, so the first horse is red. Amen. Now, let's go to the next verse here. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behold, there were red horses. All right, so the second horse is also red. Same as the first one. And speckled, the third would be speckled. And the speckled horse is also a type of red. It is a piercing bright red color, also flame colored bay or sorrel, similar to scarlet or crimson, which is used in the tabernacle and speaks of blood covering sacrifice. And in the New Testament, of course, Satan uses the color as a mockery of the royalty of Christ. And the fourth rider, of course, here in Zechariah, the fourth rider is white, and white speaks of pureness. In the tabernacle, it speaks of purity and holiness. Now, let me show you in the book of Daniel the use of the color white. Daniel 11:35, and it says, we're talking about people here, people that know their God shall be strong. Well, we'll start in verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. All right, so the Antichrist is going to win many by flatteries. Okay, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, the word exploits is not really here in the original. It says the people that know their God will do. In other words, they're going to be active. They're going to accomplish something. And the best word to use here, of course, would be they're going to do mighty things, exploits. Okay? And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword. In other words, the word is that there will be martyrs. Amen. and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be helping. Open means helped, with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. So there's the problem of flattery again, deception by flattery. And some of them of understanding shall fall. Some shall fall. So there's going to be stars that are going to fall. And try them to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for an appointed time. Now there's another verse over in the next chapter, verse 10, which is almost the last in the book of Daniel. Well, let's start in verse 9. Verse 8, we'll go back. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Now, I believe that the Lord is opening these seals now as we've come to the end time. We have every reason to believe we're in the end time. Amen. Many shall be purified and made white. So there's the meaning of the color white, purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. In other words, the unredeemed, the unrighteous, they're not going to know what's going on. They're not going to have a clue. They're going to fight against it. They're going to fight tooth and nail, believe that they're losing their precious goals and plans. Amen. And anyone who does not agree with that will be their enemy. All right. So we'll leave it off right there at that point. The meaning of the number of the white. So we have these four horses. Now let me read on. Then said I, in verse 9 of chapter 1, Zechariah, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said to me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. So remember, These are being sent by the Lord. They're not under the control of Satan or anything like that. So they represent spirits that God sent out. Maybe you could call them angelic spirits, but they don't look like angels, unless the man riding them would be. But he's riding on a certain color of a horse, which is designed and used for war. Okay, it says, and they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. So there's an angel standing among these horses, among the myrtle trees, and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. So these horse spirits with riders, if you want to call them that are sent out, they have a purpose, and it seems that their purpose is to keep the earth quiet, to keep them at peace, and everything going along smoothly. Now, when the Lord, he can do opposite from this also. He can release the four spirits that are at the four corners of the earth, release them to do mischief, to do harm, to do tribulation. And then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast indignation these 70 years? So we're coming in Zechariah's time, very much as other prophets, we're coming to the end of their 70-year time of captivity, of Babylonian captivity. And of course, the prophet is, or the angel the prophet is speaking to, is saying, Lord, isn't it time to bring this thing to an end? Now let's go a little further yet. And we're going to find in verse 18 something else that is for. He says, then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of four horns, but have any of you seen any of these big, gaudy Cadillac cars from Texas that have these big old Texas Longhorn mounted on the hood of their car? Have any of you ever seen that? You're nodding, Mike, you've seen it. I've seen it too. We don't have them up here in New York, but I've seen them. And the Texas Longhorn cow was quite an animal. I mean, some of these horns, oh, they spread out, what, 6 feet, sometimes more than 6 feet. And what does the horn represent? I mean, the horn, the animals that had these horns, they would do what? They would use those horns to push, to force, to intimidate, to crowd, to bully. So the horn represents the same thing that I said, bullying, getting your own way, stubbornness. Amen. The ox with the big horns, stubborn, pushing, self-willed. So, okay, so he said he saw four horns. Now, these are also spirits, okay? It says, and I said unto the angel that talked with me, what be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. All right, let me quit here for a minute. And I, what? Yeah, the horns are kingdoms or powers. I have this written down here somewhere. And where are we? No, I want to. Well, these are okay. Here we are. These four horns are enemy kingdoms or powers that have scattered and captured the hearts and souls of God's people. Now, these four horns have been at work in the church and in the world even today. They have been working, dividing, deceiving his church. And then what happens? All right, so they have wrought havoc in the church of God. Now, the next verse here is, and the Lord showed me four carpenters. All right, so what? How does the Lord deal with the results of these four horns that have pushed and divided the body of Christ? Amen. It says here, then said I, what come these to do? Now, and he spake, saying, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come. Now, these are the carpenters. These are come to fray them. Now, the word fray means to terrify these nations, including the denominations. Amen. That have done this to God's people. Amen. So they've come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. So, what is the job of carpenters? It's interesting that he uses the word carpenters here. Carpenters, what do carpenters do? Anybody ever hire a carpenter? Maybe some of you have been a carpenter. Mike, you've been a carpenter, haven't you? What do carpenters do? What would a carpenter do with a wrecked house?
He'd fix it up. The carpenter works with wood and builds houses and constructs things.
In other words, he's going to fix up all the damage that's been done, put it in order, and put it in a state that it is livable. Okay? Now, in scripture, when you see the term four carpenters and you begin to hear that they're going to fray, and the word fray means to terrorize, terrify these nations, spiritually Gentile nations, terrify their plans. What does this sound like in, shall we say, the book of Revelation? Who are these carpenters? Where would you find them? I mean, I have my opinion. I see you mouthing your something there, Larry. What are you saying?
Sons of God.
Yes. These are sons of God. I would have used the term, these are two witness company. And they're going to terrify the world. They're going to terrify the New World Order. They're not going to be loved at all. So God sends how many? How many carpenters? Four. Four carpenters to deal with four horns. So each one to fit the exact cause. All right, now let me see if we missed anything here. Let's go to Zechariah. We got more in Zechariah here. Where is it? Chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6. Now we've got four chariots pulled by chariot horses. All right. Actually, I believe there's a matched pair of horses hitched to each chariot. Okay. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 here. It seems Zechariah is getting his view of the horses here. And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of what? Brass. Now, in the tabernacle, what does brass stand for? Brass is judgment. And where do you find brass in the tabernacle? Most obviously is the brazen altar. And what is the purpose of the golden altar? Is the sacrifice and the shedding of the blood. But remember, also the brazen altar and the golden altar, each of them have four horns. Now, this is not to bully, but it's a measure of force. In other words, you don't come to God just because you've been running around seeking him all your life. There's a certain measure of force that brings you in. And the old bull nature, the old ox, shall we say, the old bull has been fighting. And the same thing we can say about the sacrifice of the soul. How many of you have come willingly, so willingly to that golden altar, just like a lamb? Oh, I'm so anxious to sacrifice my whole soul. I'm so anxious to give up my will, my desires. I'm so anxious for my mind to be taken over by the mind of Christ. My emotions, I don't like them. I'm just ready to give them up. Come on, you're not so anxious to do that. No matter what you think about yourself, the old man does not want to give up. And there's a lot of force that has to go into the circumstances of our life in order for us to come to that golden altar and then give the incense, amen, and give it all to the Lord. Only then can we cross through the veil and into the Holy of Holies, amen. So let's look at this now. They come through mountains of brass. Interesting. The chariots come through the mountains of brass. All right. In the first chariot were red horses. In the second chariot, black horses. In the third chariot, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Now, you look up the definition of grizzled and bay. It means dappled or spotted as by hail, okay? And bay means very strong, swift, courageous, and they seem to be a separate team sent to patrol and protect and watch over the earth. All right, we talked about the definition of the horse in Job. Now, let's take a look at these horses, four horses. Let me find it here. Oh, here we are, chariot horses, okay. So let's see where the horses are sent. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" Well, he was a smart prophet because he didn't know the answers. And he's asking the Lord, "What are the meaning of these horses?" Okay. And the angel answered and said unto me, "These are the four spirits of the heavens." So again, we have to say, these are under the control of the Lord God. These are four spirits in control of the heavens. Now, I don't believe that they're the spirits that are bound at the four corners of the earth, but they are four spirits that bring control to these areas of the earth, okay? Which go from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So once again, they originate from the throne of God. The black horses, which are therein, go forth into the north. So what is the meaning of the black horse? Okay. Black, by the way, is a color not found in the tabernacle. You do not find any mention of black. And it refers to night. It refers to disease, tribulation, absence of light, the sun being darkened. Amen. And they are sent to the north. And the meaning of north, again, is it's the source of enemies. From the north come enemies, invasion, trouble, cold, whirlwinds. This is north. So the black horse is being sent to the north. Okay. Now, literally north of Israel, of course, would be Syria and Turkey. And what do they represent? Syria and Turkey. What kind of a spirit do you find in this part of the north? Spirit of Islam, is it not? Yeah, Turkey and Syria, very much Islamic. Even though Turkey is trying to act very civilized these days, but they've always been a problem. And also directly north, you find Russia. So Russia is also a troubling land, a land from which trouble and tribulation originates. Okay? So they go forth to the north, and the white go forth after them. In other words, what do we find with white again? It's purity. And they're sent to follow the black team. Two enemies in the north country need to be defeated. What do you suppose those two enemies might be? Could be Islam and it could be communism. Two enemies. Could be. I'm just speculating. I'm not sure. Anyway, the white was sent after the black. In other words, two of them were sent to the north. Okay? The grizzled go toward the south country. Now, in Bible language, the word south country, I think it meant it really referred more to a right or left hand definition, and it basically referred to Egypt. So we have another team being sent to Egypt, grizzled, dappled, spotted as by hail, right hand. In other words, you're facing the east, you're facing the east is the mind of God, you're facing the east. So to the right hand would be the south, okay? And there seems to be now a fourth team here, and it says, and the bay went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. So here's the fourth team now, the fourth chariot team. They wanted permission not to go just to the north, not to the south. They wanted to go survey the whole scene and check the whole thing out. We want to go to and fro, back and forth, that they might walk to and fro through the earth. And he said, go ye hence, walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Now remember, these are chariot teams, not one individual rider, but it's a pair, a two witness type of thing with the horses. And of course they would have to have a driver too. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these that go toward the north country have quieted my spirit in the north. So at the time of this prophecy, or whenever this prophecy applies, the business had been accomplished in the north. Two teams, the black horse and followed by the white horse. They have quieted my spirit in the north. Now, let's get into some other horses here. We're going to go into the book of Revelation. And we come to Revelation chapter 6. So what we have here in chapter 6 is the opening of the seals. This is the first thing, the seals. First of all, it's the seals that are being opened. Secondly, the trumpets sound. The seals are a revelation. The revelation, these things that the Lord said to Daniel that were sealed until the time of the end. Now in the days of John, we're seeing the prophetic word that the seals are opened, and who is worthy to open these seals but the Lamb of God? And once the seals are opened, then the trumpets will sound, the announcements will be given, and then the vials poured out, which will be the actual accomplishment of what has been revealed. So Let me start off here in the beginning of chapter 6. See how far we can get. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Now, here we have four again. There are four beasts. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Representing the human soul, the completed human soul before the throne of God. All right. But the Lamb opens the seals, and the four beasts, now one of the four, see, there's only four that are speaking here, and these four are only referring to the first four seals. The first beast speaks to the first seal, the second beast to the second seal. And we should understand that the opening of these seals and the sounding of these trumpets, this is not a one-time event, and then it ends. Okay, when the first trumpet sounds, it's still sounding when the second one starts, and it's still sounding when the third. In other words, they're continuing. There is what's the term? One after the other. What is it? Consecutive. Yeah, they're consecutive. But they're not, the one does not exclude the other. All right. So the first beast, by the way, we need to understand some of these terms too. We have the term beast here in the beginning, in the first verse, and we have the word beast down here in the what is it, the third seal, is it, or the second? The wild beasts are destroying. These are two completely different words. The first beast in that I just read, in the four living creatures, is what would be a better word for them. In other words, they're not beasts. He didn't know what to call them. They didn't look like real humans, but he called them, they were living creatures, in other words. So that's the first beast. Now, the second term, when we find the word beast, okay, including the beast rising out of the sea, the beast rising out of the earth, these refer to wicked, venomous, dangerous creatures, okay? Bad, not just living creatures. All right, so I saw a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, here's the big mystery. What is this white horse, and he that sat upon him? Who is this? Now, I already told you that white represents purity, okay? Is this really the Lamb of God on this horse? I see everybody shaking their head no, okay? Why do you say that? Why does he fail to meet the definition of the Lamb of God?
He's coming to conquer. Bring war. It's actually should be the Lord's horse, but it's the Antichrist bringing deception, which is the first sign of the first seal's deception.
Okay. Why don't we read the definition of the Lamb on his white horse, all right, and see what the difference would be. So go over to chapter 19, and we can determine. Let's start in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. All right. So this white horse is making war too. All right. Now let's go on. His eyes were as a flame of fire. That doesn't sound like the one here in chapter 6, does it? And on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies, that word is plural, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them, that word is shepherd them, with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right. Well, there's something else that's different about this, and that is the crown. Now it says a crown. Where is it? A crown was given unto him. Now I don't know where he got that crown. Just a crown. But as with the word beasts and with the word sword, they mean different things. Okay. This word crown that this fellow had in chapter 6, verse 1, this white horse, his crown was a chaplet. Do you know what I mean by a chaplet? It's that little woven thing made out of olive branches. And it was the kind of thing they used to give before they gave gold medals and all that at the early Olympics, way, way, way back, hundreds, thousands of years ago when the Greeks had their Olympics. The winner would get a little, Paul called them a crown that fadeth. And he said, we're going to get a crown that fadeth not. In other words, it isn't going to be made of the same little branches of olives. Now, this over here in Revelation 19, it said, on his head were many crowns, and that word is diadems. Any of you know what a diadem looks like? I just happen to have one here. I went to Burger King, and this is a diadem. Well, if it were made of metal, it would be a diadem. It's just a little paper thing. But this is what a diadem looks like. Amen. This is what the Queen, I'm sure Queen Elizabeth, she had some of those in her storage cabinet probably somewhere. The king probably has one. David must have worn something like that. That's a diadem, and it says he has many diadems. So the crown represents the titles that he has: Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Emmanuel. He has all those titles, and they represent his kingship. All right, going back to these other opening of the seals. Remember, these are opening of the seals. He went forth conquering and to conquer. So we're going to see this happen in the world very shortly. We're going to see this white horse spiritually, something going forth to change the laws of each country, to bring subjection, to bring submission, to do away with the American Supreme Court, make it all the world court. Where did they have that world court? What country is it? Over there in, does anybody remember?
In The Hague.
Hague. In The Hague, yes. So they're going to bring world dominion. They're conquering each nation. How they're going to do it, I don't know. Whether they do it by force, probably mostly by deception, but they're going to try to go forth and conquer. Now, the second seal. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast. All right, and this is a living creature now. The living creature said, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. Let me look at the definition of this red here. Well, all I have is that he's red. Oh, here he is. Just a red horse, okay? Just a red horse. And power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. All right? What's happening in the world today? It almost seems that this horse is sort of beginning to rattle about. People are starting to kill one another. Mothers killing their babies. Husbands killing their wives. Wives killing their husbands. Children killing their parents. People killing their neighbors. Get into a little argument. Kill your neighbor. I mean, people are beginning to kill one another. Now, here's a very interesting term here. Oh, by the way, let me go back to the white horse. Brother DeCio did not believe, as we just came to the conclusion. He believed it was the Lord. Okay, go look it up in the pattern if you like. I looked it up. I still can't come to that conclusion. He didn't really give me enough of an argument to where I believe that. And I haven't talked to anybody yet that believes that, although I should be honest and mention that to you. Okay, down here on this horse, the red horse, there was given him a great sword. Now, I'll have to tell you Seth's definition of this great sword. Great sword, not just a sword, but a great sword. What do you suppose this great sword could be? What is the greatest sword, the greatest weapon that anybody has today in their arsenal?
The word of God?
Well, if he were doing the Lord's business, that would be the great sword. But the enemy's great
nuclear
sword,
bomb.
I think it's a nuclear bomb. I think it is. Somebody was saying they went into a museum, and laying along the side was this big 20-foot ballistic missile was laying there. And they explained that this missile was meant to carry the nuclear bomb, and it was such a powerful missile that it could carry this thing just about anywhere on the earth that it was sent to be. So this red horse, you know, blood, destruction, amen, take peace from the earth. Wars are going to be breaking out, people killing one another, nuclear bomb, perhaps, great sword, I don't know. It's the only place the term great sword is used. Third seal. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And behold, and lo, a black horse. You remember what black represents? Darkness, tribulation, disease. All right? Black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now, remember, it doesn't say it doesn't say that these horses were sent from standing before the throne of God. These are something else that are being released, okay? They're being released by God because the seal is being opened. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. What does balance mean? The picture of Lady Justice. Where do they have that picture? Somewhere in the Supreme Court, they have this lady holding the balance. Where is that? Come on, Howard, you're the scholar. Where is it? Statue of Liberty? Is she the one that has it? No.
It's in front of judges' quarters, courtrooms.
Yeah, it's in front of judgment, justice courtrooms. Yeah. In other words, it's supposed to mean that true justice is going to be meted out. Now, the Lord could use this horse and the rider to bring justice, to bring judgment upon the wickedness of the world. So here's a horse going out, doing the Lord's business, sort of like the destroyer that went out in the land of Egypt to bring judgment upon the Egyptians. And it says, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. So he's riding with balances hanging off of one hand. Amen. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. What is the oil and the wine?
Brother Mark.
Yes.
I'm wondering, the pair of balances, I know that balance are also used for measurement when things are a pound of meat and stuff. It looks to me like the balances were dealing with the measuring of the wheat and the barley.
It could be. It could be. So a measure of wheat for a penny. By the way, what is a penny? A penny represents one day of wages. Okay? And a measure of barley, or three measures of barley for a penny. What does wheat and what does barley represent? Barley is the first fruit. Amen? Barley is less desirable. If you go down to the store to buy barley bread, the barley bread will be cheaper than the bread made of wheat, because barley is kind of a rough, a poor man's bread. Okay, but it speaks of famine to me as well. I mean, if it takes a whole day's wages to gather enough bread for just one measure, you're not going to have very much in the natural now. Okay, but see thou hurt not. So in other words, the bread, the food supply is going to be in danger here, from what many, many things can cause a danger to the food supply. Do you realize if something happens to the truckers, the shippers, if that's held up, it isn't going to take but a couple of days and the grocery stores will be empty? You realize that? And how many days supply of food do you have in your house? How many days could you go? You might be able to go a week. I don't know. All right. So it speaks of coming shortages. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Don't hurt the word and the spirit, the oil and the wine. The oil is the Holy Spirit. The wine is the word of God. That will not be harmed. So if we're the people of the spirit and the word, we'll not be harmed. All right, one more. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Pale horse. Amen. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now here again, very interesting, the pale horse. Now, I think we defined what this pale horse looks like. It's kind of a greenish, grayish yellow. The rider is Death or Pestilence. He is closely followed by Hell, Hades, amen, the place of the souls of the dead sinners. And authority is given to kill a fourth of the earth with a sword. Now, this sword is a different word than the sword we were given above, a large sword. This sword is what we call a saber, a long, broad cutlass. And these are the kind of swords. They still use them in the Mideast for beheading. This is that kind of a sword. Big, big curved cutlass saber. Amen. So he's killing with a sword, all right. Hunger, pestilence, which is disease and plagues, and with the beasts of the earth. Now, I don't believe that that means that a bunch of bears are going to suddenly come out of the woods and be attacking everybody. Or down there where you guys live in Nigeria, you have lions down there. Lions are, how many examples do you hear of lions attacking people? Just coming into villages where people live and suddenly attack. You don't hear that anymore, do you? I mean, I never hear that. Well, I'm talking about Nigeria. We have bears. Occasionally a bear hurts somebody out in Yellowstone or somewhere. Somebody bothers a bear. Once in a while, somebody gets too close to one of these bison and they lift their horn and give them a flip. It's not a big deal. It's people that are stupid, people that are getting too close to these wild beasts. These wild beasts, brethren, I'm going to give you my opinion, are human beings. Human beings given over to the devil. Now, I'm going to give you two examples from the Word, and then we'll go from there. 2 Samuel. I found the one in 2 Samuel. Now, this is one of David's mighty men. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And it's going to be in verse 20, if I wrote it down right. Did I write that down wrong? 2 Samuel, isn't it? Oh, it's going to be 23. Why do I do that? Oh, it is. It's chapter 23. I'm sorry. Chapter 23. We're defining some of David's mighty men here. Okay, so let me start back in maybe verse 19. He was not the most honorable of three, wherefore he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went also down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. So here's a man who slew lion-like men of Moab. I don't really know what this means. These were beasts. These were men that were like lions, Moabites. Look in 1 Corinthians. Now, Paul had an encounter with some of these people also. And he defined them as beasts. He didn't give a lot of detail, but in chapter 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 32, let's go back and, verse 32. If after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage of it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, Paul doesn't give a lot of detail here, but he said he fought with after the beasts who were after the manner of men. In other words, they were like men, but spiritually they were beasts, and he fought with them. Now, how he fought with them, I don't know. I don't believe he was using a sword. I believe he was using the weapons of our warfare, which are spiritual weapons. But anyway, Paul said they were beasts that he was fighting with. Amen. So when we get here. Yeah, go ahead.
Wait. What?
Yeah.
Mario.
Who's this? Oh, did you have something to share, Karen? All right, go ahead and mute yourself then, Karen. All right, I'm sorry. Okay, so we've got four horsemen here, and we really haven't come to the end of the number four. Let me read about, I talked about the four horns of the golden altar. In chapter 8, let's just finish up here with four. The fourth trumpet, all right? We come to chapter 8, the fourth trumpet, and verse 12 and 13. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. And behold, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So the fourth angel, when the trumpet sounds, there are three woes. And you can find these woes, the third of these woes is actually in the 12th chapter when Satan is cast from his heaven realm down to the earth, and he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So, there's one more. One more for four. And that would be in chapter 9, verse 13. And this is the sixth trumpet. Okay? And I think we've read that recently, but let's read it again. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. So here we have the four horns again of the golden altar. And what are they doing? The cry from the four horns. And by the way, where does that cry come from? It's the souls of saints, the souls that have been sacrificed, given completely over to the Lord at the golden altar. Amen. And the souls of the martyrs are here at the golden altar, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So there again, the number four is not a good number. These four angels loosed at the river Euphrates are going to bring a lot of havoc. They're going to bring, well, let me read it. Let me continue. Bound in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. That's pretty specific. There is a specific time. God knows. You know, when the towers went down, I probably said this before, I thought this was the day. It seemed like within 1 hour, everything there had happened. But apparently it wasn't time for their full release. They'd like to get loose. They'd like to create this kind of thing over and over again. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. They didn't seem to have a word for million here in the Greek. And I heard the number of them. And I saw the horses in the vision. Here again is your horses. And then that sat on them, having breastplates of fire of jacinth. What is jacinth? It's a fiery, no, hyacinth. They were fiery red, hyacinth, brimstone, which is blue, and sulfur. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issues fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. Their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now, how do people respond to this? How does the world respond? The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. Now, what we've already defined is one of them is able to take a fourth of the population. Now, here's another one that's taking a third of the population. We're getting down there. You would think that every man would be ready to repent by now. No. It says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship the devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither see nor hear nor walk. You know, we don't have those idols hanging around today. What kind of idols do we have today? We have Hollywood actors. We have sports events, idols. But, and by the way, the press uses the word idols in talking about them. So we have more modern idols, but they're still the same thing. It's, and neither repented they of what were the big four sins: murders, sorceries, and the word sorcery is pharmakia, which means drugs, and their fornication, and their thefts. Well, why did they murder, and why did they steal? To get their pharmakia. But it doesn't change things. You know, I don't know what other nations are doing, but America is supposedly all these powers of president and governors and all, they're all trying to curb the big drug problems that we've got, and they can't control it. It keeps coming in. How are we going to control this thing? What's the only answer? And they will not allow the real answer. The real answer is to bring the power of Jesus Christ into the lives and souls of human beings. Try taking that into the school instead of, what was their thing? Just say no. Remember that campaign? When was that? Back in the 80s or 70s or something? They get everybody, just say no. Well, that wasn't working, was it? So these are the big four sins, by the way. The sexual sins, oh my goodness, they've expanded on that now so that it's something you wouldn't even believe. Sorcery, the drugs, they've got drugs now that if you were to take 1 ounce of it, you'd be dead. Drugs, murder, and theft. This seems to be the only thing that fills up my my news. I get the news on my phone. This is the only thing that we're reading. All right, I think we've gone far enough with the four, and you can see another meaning of the number four, the prophetic meaning. So I'm going to turn the recording off. Turn this thing off. I'll take the battery out. That'll stop it. Now I'll turn this one off. Sorry, folks.